141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we reflect on transfer deadline day. Celtic get three in all loans and knock back £25 million for Arne Engels. Rangers up the fee to get Ryan Nadiri in earlier. Elsewhere across the league at Motherwell, Maswanisi stays, Welsh returns, and Hearts have James Wilson head off to Spurs. And as if that's not enough, the Jambos continue their title charge away at St Mirren tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me tonight for the very first time, he picked some night to step into the madness, it is Killian Sheridan. So we put him alongside a real sensible calm head in Gordon DL.
Well, there's only one show in town tonight, Gordon, that's the transfer window, and it'll be interesting from all the supporters who has come out the strongest. You mentioned Celtic there. We've heard it for weeks upon weeks now from Celtic supporters. Cash rich, they ain't spent a penny. You look at Rangers, they put out the money. They brought in some players. Hearts have added. You know, every team's tried to strengthen for the run into the end of season. Let the calls begin, because I know the first few is going to be tonight.
Killian Sheridan, great to have you with us. You have moved many times. No late bids for you for Breakin. Was the Breakin phone turned off early last night?
Yeah, this is the only move I've made so far.
That's true. You're a deadline day signing. So it was over to you, as Gordon DL says, 0141 951 1025. Unload everything that you've got on your mind after transfer deadline day. There will be a lot. It was always kind of pointing in the direction that it would be Celtic who had the most discussion afterwards, whether it was good, bad, or somewhere in the middle. It was always going to be that way. So what do you make about Celtic fans? You got the numbers in, you got the positions addressed. There was no area identified that was left vacant. However, did you want money spent? Did it annoy you that cash wasn't handed over? Or is it sensible because Martin O'Neill's not going to be there in the future and there's no sporting director at the moment? So were loans the right way to go? Were the club right to knock back £25 million for Arne Engels or not? And what about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? Martin O'Neill confirming today he has spoken to the player. He believes the player will probably have other options. I wonder if that's one you would like to see pursued from the free agents market. So 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans, it was very late before Ryan Nadiri was spotted on Sky Sports driving in to the Rangers training centre. Rangers had to push the boat out a bit, up the fee quite significantly to get him in now rather than the summer. Was that the right thing to do? Are you confident you've now got all the pieces in place to try and win this title? Because let's be honest, in terms of the top three, that's what a lot of the discussion has been. Which team can win the transfer window, and does that translate into a winning of the title? Again, same number, 0141 951 1025. Motherwell fans, you maybe would be pretty happy despite not signing anyone late. You kept Maswanisi, Stephen Welsh returned. So how happy are you there? There was that James Wilson move that was quite early in the day yesterday, down to Spurs, which maybe was quite an interesting one. And then the big game tonight, St Mirren up against Hearts. In terms of recent form, I think clearly that points towards the league leaders, but you just never know what a difficult place Paisley can be. Remember the thriller. In fact, a couple of exciting games and controversial games they've shared recently. So any thoughts ahead of that one? And if you're bored with that already, which I doubt you are, what about Harvey Barnes? Looks like that door is opening for him to come part of the Scotland squad. So loads going on today. 0141 951 1025. Was it a good deadline day? What constitutes a good one? Was it exciting enough? Did we have enough talking points?
Yeah, definitely. I think there was a few bizarre things happening. I think like the Engels thing, how often does a Scottish club turn down 25 million?
Never, literally never.
Yeah, and then you look at the last player Celtic did sell for that was Matt O'Reilly, who was head and shoulders their best player, the best player in the league probably, and they got 25 million from, and then they're turning down the same amount for a player that's possibly the jury's still out on him a little bit. So I think Celtic have stated that's their valuation of him now. It'll be interesting going into the summer to see what kind of interest follows up from that. If it puts off any potential suitors to him, I don't know. I think overall, probably Derek McInnes and Hearts, possibly the happiest coming out of it. Time will tell on Rangers and Celtic signings, but I think Hearts can probably look at it and think, right, neither of them have come in and blown us out of the water in this window, which I think a lot of people were expecting. But like I said, time will tell on how the signings have been.
Yeah, maybe Jamestown Analytics is just too sensible to be scrambling around on deadline day. Gordon DL, it is like when I ask you before a ball's kicked to predict who wins the league. I know it's a lot because you've not seen them. What's your gut telling you about who won the transfer window?
I don't think Celtic did. It's very hard to judge Gordon because we don't know the.
I know. I just said that, but yeah, right. I'm still just going to press you.
Yeah, I know. Okay, one night Sky Sports. Come on. we don't know what the players are going to produce. Right. I look at Celtic. There's a couple of things there for me. It's all loans. It's players that I've not really heard a lot about. They knocked back 25 million for Ingles. I can understand. Bodies wise, because of it was so near the window, but to knock back 25 million is a lot of money for me. I think the best business is Hearts and Rangers at the top three so far.
Okay, anything else that stood out elsewhere has been particularly good business? Yeah, people that stayed, people that went.
The best bit of business in Scottish football is Motherwell not selling Maswanisi. I know that they might have not been the valuation or bids, or obviously, there were people sniffing about them. It was years gone by. I think that clubs could easily come in and pick up players off of Motherwell and teams like that on the cheap, and that's no longer the situation now. They value of their players, quite rightly so. I think we were talking there, is Ingles going to attract the same attention, same money in the summer? Maswanisi will certainly attract the same attention and money, so I can totally understand that, and I think that's great news for Motherwell.
We have got a sensational recent track record of having pundits on here that have played with loads of clubs. Tony Watt and Cammy Bell are like our sort of benchmark, but I think you go right into that mix. Were you ever a January deadline day man?
I think it was a January deadline loan move, Celtic to Motherwell. For some reason, I think that was deadline day. I was driving into training and basically got a call that there was a chance to go on loan, and it was almost done before I agreed to it. I was that young.
You were just told.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you then took the wrong turning, son.
Didn't go too well. And then I had a deadline day move from Cyprus to Poland, and the Polish market opens until the end of February. So although it wasn't the end of January, it was the end of February. And it was a bit chaotic because of the whole moving countries and everything that goes along with that. So it was literally up until the last minute.
You're going to see two worlds collide here. He's played with loads of clubs, and you don't remember anything. So I'm going to bet everything I own that you don't remember him playing for Motherwell.
Yeah, I do. He was one
not
of my favourites.
Not a chance.
You were a centre, weren't
you? To be fair, I said it didn't go well.
I remember it. Tried to forget it, but I remember it. Anyway, 01419511025. That was Killian Sheridan alongside Gordon DL. Let's bring in Ryan from Bears Den. Your thoughts in the window, Ryan?
Hi, well, I think that we've done what we had today, considering that it's, at least as if we're only here to date for a couple of months. Well, Martin's only here to date for a couple of months, so it's like we're going to try and win this. But I feel like Celtic's a wee bit damned if they do and damned if they don't. Sorry, guys, how are you doing?
Don't worry about that, Ryan. Ryan, see if just you go straight in.
Sorry. What that is I mean, like, everybody was going mental with Brendan Rodgers for spending that money on Arne Ingles, saying he wasn't worth it. Or that kind of thing. And now, yesterday, it was offered up to 20 and with five add-ons. Now, for that, people to say that's crazy, they didn't take it and then slate them for it. When they're saying that they need these players, and obviously we need them for the race. If they'd have sold that, they would have got slaughtered. They'd have sold that guy. It was different if it would have been a week ago. We'd think to bring a player in, but we didn't have it. It was the very last day, so I think it was good to Celtic to hang on to him. I think it shows that what the board were trying to do something, because everybody's sleeping him, everybody's going mental. You know what I'm talking about? And they would have got hung out to dry if they'd have sold him yesterday. But I just think they're getting it for both ways. I'm talking about for Celtic fans, media, everything. I've had a wee look through a different kind of thing. I don't do social media today through YouTube or different things, but I've had a wee look and everybody's kind of gone mental about them. No, I just think that it would have been a crazy thing today in this window, and I'm glad that they brought in the guys that we needed a couple of strikers. We needed a wee bit of help just to get us out of the line with the guys like Jota, AJ, Carter Vickers out. we just needed a wee hon. I think that's what they've managed to do to tighten us up.
So you're not concerned, annoyed, or whatever the word would be, that, you know, no money was spent, it was all loans. You still think those areas have been identified?
No, I'm annoyed for the very beginning, the beginning of the season, that we didn't back Brendan Rodgers, that Brendan had to walk.
Yeah, no, but this window, I mean, like, once you found yourself in that position.
I'm just happy that they knew.
Yeah, but once you get to this position, you know, that's kind of in the past. Once you get to this deadline day, you're just happy that the business is done. You're not bothered that it's loans and stuff like that.
No, I'll add it to the loans, because see, at the end of the day, I know for a fact somebody's going to be coming in a couple of months' time, and we don't want to be tied in with all sorts of players that we can't sell. It's better off loans, whether it's loans to buy guys that go back to the rain club, whatever, that's fine. And then a new manager can come in and get whoever he wants, because we don't know who's going to be coming in. That's the way I see it.
Well, let's see what Gordon and Killian think, because Ryan used the phrase, damned if you do, damned if you don't, which I wonder if that does speak a bit to how much of a difficult situation maybe Celtic have got themselves into, granted, but earlier in this window we spoke quite often. We got a lot of calls of people saying, look, we accept it probably will be loans, because the manager's not going to be there next season. There is no sporting director, head of football operations. So who sanctions a £10 million 4-year contract? Yet once it gets the deadline day and you don't spend any, you then get a bit of stick. Which side of the fence do you fall on?
I think it was quite sensible dealings, in terms of, I always thought they were going to be loan signings no matter what. Like you're saying, in the summertime it's probably going to be a different manager. There's going to be, you would imagine, a sporting director there, head of recruitment. I think the person who was close to being beneath Paul Tisdale was Sean Maloney, who's now in the dugout. He's not in that role either. So I don't know who would actually be in charge of okaying and going out and looking for all the players that you would sign permanently. Probably the only issue is that it took until the final day. And then even like the whole Engels thing, where people are saying, just sell them, take that money and then go and sign someone. You've got a big barrel load of cash there to go and sign someone. It's taken them like nearly a year to replace some players. People are expecting them to go and do that in four hours.
Why did we both pick four there? That was a strange choice. That'll teach me to finish your sentences. At the same time, Gordon, Martin O'Neill spoke today and he said that they were willing to spend money, apparently, despite the fact that he wouldn't be there. He spoke about having a deal in place for Gigemis, or however you say it, from Frosinone in Italy. Again, I know there's a level of cynicism met with everything that is Celtic at the moment, but there was meant to be a fee getting paid for the permanent signing last night, but then an issue in the medical and it turned into a loan. So I don't know, are you surprised? Do you think it's poor that Celtic didn't go and spend money? Where do you sit?
I'm the middle, because I think there should have been a fine balance. I totally agree that Celtic should have looked at the loan market, but I think they should have given the club a right boost by bringing in some marquee players and spent a bit of money. Now, as Ryan said there, the board come in for incredible criticism, right, for not spending money. They've knocked back a £14 million profit on a player they only got, 18 months ago. Mm-hmm. You know, so you just wonder what we Celtic think.
I know, I don't say this to you often, it's such a good point. The accusation against the Celtic, if you talk purely about incomings, what you'll hear today is, it's a disgrace, not spent anything, you know, hoarding all this cash, like, and then the connotations of that is, you know, greedy and tight and all that, but knocked back £25 million. So yeah. It's not that, those two sort of contradict each other.
I think Martin O'Neill, obviously, he's a man, and I think they were trying to back him. He said that they were trying to spend money, right? It's a difficult market just now. If you're getting into that,
How difficult? People do spend money in January, Rangers did it, other teams do it.
Yeah, but maybe Celtic are trying to just shop in a window a little bit above because they've got the money. And then what happened was...
Do you think Celtic now shop in a clearly higher market than Rangers
not
do?
Not massive, but I think they can go that further. But what I think the big...
Rangers spent in Chirmiti in the summer.
Yeah, £8 million, but Ingles was 11, so... I'm saying that they could go a little bit more, you know, into the 11, 12 million pounds. Where they let themselves down is, and I think everybody will agree in this, Gordon, Once again, they left it too late and they became a club that if they went in for anybody, the price has got to rise. The wages have got to rise because desperation was setting in. And that's what happened to Celtic once again. But we don't know what these guys are going to produce.
This was the verdict from Martin O'Neill. Thank you to Ryan on Arne Engels.
For here, that's an awful lot of money. It's an awful lot of money. I personally, I'm delighted that the board turned it down. And it is, you know, it's really tempting. It's come at a very, very late stage, I must admit. So real great credit to them. Arne, I think he didn't kick up a fuss about it either, even though it's come in late. And of course, it's tempting. It's really big money for here. They didn't take the bait. And so I'm naturally, I'm really pleased. And we can relook at things in the summertime. That was a major statement. No, no, absolutely not. Not at all, no. They turned it down before telling me. If it had got to 100 million, yes, I think I definitely would have done that, even if at half 11.
Joe is a Celtic fan in West Kilbride. Right to turn down the money, Joe?
Oh, it's a tough one, that Gordon, because, see, for me, we should not be in a position where we're turning down £25 million for a player. Come on, it's Scotland. £25 million. Look at the transfers that we've made £25 million on in the past. Kieran Tierney, Jota, and then Matt O'Reilly. I'm not saying Engels doesn't have potential. You cannot tell me that he has made the impact that those players have had at Celtic. £25 million. Why are we in a position that on the very last day of the window, we're getting a bid coming in like that, and we're just so unprepared? We're so unprepared. I'm happy that they did turn down the bid on the very last day of the window, but we should not be in a position for £25 million we're turning that down.
Is that a sort of spin on the argument there about you should be able to take it? You know, rather than are you right or are you wrong to do it, why can't you accept it? That, do you know what I mean? Is that where Joe's coming from?
Joe's 100% right. See, Celtic have done their business correctly in January.
And you've got somebody ready to go and all that sort of stuff. You should be able to take
it. They're taking £25 million. £25 million is a one-off. Nottingham Forest desperate. They're in that league. They're desperate to stay there. Look at this young boy.
So you don't think this means Celtic can get £25 million for Arne Engels in the summer?
No, I don't think Nottingham Forest are coming back in with £25 million. They went to 14, then all of a sudden jumped up to 20 plus add-ons. It was an incredible bit of business. And this is where Celtic let themselves down. Joe is spotting the money. Their transfer business should have been up and running and nearly complete where they've got the search. They've turned it down because of bodies, Gordon, right? They've turned it down because they're looking at this league and they're thinking, oh, hold on a minute here. We've not got a lot of backup to get in there. I know that fans can say, well, Bernardo's there, Hatate, you'll get McGowan that can get in there and play, right? But they should have had everything put in place. When that bid comes in, they can turn around and say, yeah, we're not going to, they'll probably, look, could be wrong, but I don't think in the summer they're going to get £25 million for him.
Is that the reality, Killian? You think Celtic just almost would have wanted to accept it, but just couldn't? And then why is that the case?
I think it goes back to the recruitment. That's been probably their biggest issue, that every window. I think they should probably have, I don't know how the workings go on there, but you'd want a club like that to have like four or five targets for every position, for the amount of different things that can happen in football. A player can get injured, can go on a good run of form, a bid like that comes in, can go on a bad run of form, they then maybe need to replace them. I just don't think that was in place. I know we've gone over the difficulties of a January transfer window, and we're probably seeing the other side of it, where we're saying how hard it is for Celtic to go and buy players in January. If you go on the other side of it to Nottingham Forest, they've just went and tried to pay £25 million for Arne Engels, a player
who couldn't get him,
who we're all kind of taken aback by.
Fair point. So in relative terms, you know, Celtic might have struggled to do that to other teams.
That kind of highlights the difficulty of a transfer window.
It's a good point that man's made there.
Yeah,
I hadn't thought about that.
But when you take into consideration as well, right, I know I listened to Martin O'Neill closely there talking about, and we've forgot about this, how does a player feel? Now, there's a young kid that's came to Scottish football and he's been up and down his form. He's come in for a bit of criticism. Big, obviously, price tag. I think he's got good talent. Obviously, Nottingham Forest certainly think he's got good talent. There's an opportunity to, right away, 18 months, go to the Premier League, probably treble his wages and everything, Gordon. So you just wonder what his mindset
is. I'm fascinated by the wide range of opinions on Arne Engels, Joe. It feels like some people, it goes all the way from, we've now got all the way from hopeless to 25 million. You know, that's quite a spread. Do you think you get this money for him again in the summer? And where are you on sort of what he brings? Because I feel like in the last couple of years, we've debated a lot whether he's worth 11, never mind worth 25.
Yep. I'll be honest. Engels is a player that when he goes out on the pitch, I always want him to do well. He gets stuck in. He does. I feel like he wears his heart on his sleeve a bit. And when he's maybe not having a good game, it's really noticeable. And then you just think, is this boy ever gonna take it to the next level? Well, Nottingham Forest have seen something in him, although some people say maybe it is desperation left by the window. They've seen enough in him that they operate on a modern scale, right? Nottingham Forest, the way that they would scout their players and recruit. And I feel like when we signed Engels, he was the type of player that I wanted Celtic to sign, right? A young prospect coming over from the Bundesliga. Like, it's the kind of signing that you want to bring in, but I just don't see what's going to happen now and come the summer. Like, will he keep his form up? Will it affect him? I don't know. I really don't know. And just one other point, just on the window in general and the transfer kind of over the last year or so, couple of years, it's just we've decimated that squad. The quality's been reduced. We've sold our players and we've not replaced them with the players that we needed to. And it culminates in a situation like yesterday where a player like Engels, you're not able to take that because you're just not in the position to do so. And it's not just that transfer window January. We're going back here.
Okay, Joe, thank you very much. That was Joe in West Kilbride. Rate your team's transfer window. Doesn't have to be Celtic. Let's hear from you all and we'll speak to you in a couple of minutes when we return.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan is alongside Gordon DL for your transfer deadline day review, as well as a big night at the top and bottom, I suppose, of the Scottish Premiership, with Hearts going to St Mirren. James is just along the road in Clydebank. How are you, James?
Hi guys, how are you doing?
Not bad, James. How would you rate Celtic's transfer deadline day?
Disaster this year again. I'd say we've not really had a good window for a long time now. But there was a good window last summer, but it got called no summer last summer there, but the summer before, when we got Engels and Ida and Trusty. That was a good window. A lot of people say they were all bad signings and they were failures and that, but they weren't really. But the biggest thing I want to talk about is the actual ineptness of the Celtic board at doing everything at all. Now, these guys are lauded as these big businessmen, right? But seeing them from January last year to January this year, the Celtic board have cost Celtic £90 million. Now, I hope everybody takes that in, because that's a guaranteed £25 million, supposedly, for Engels, right? Now, I'm led to believe the deal for Dijon Maeda was supposed to be near north of £30 million as well, coming in all in. So even get a conservative estimate of the same as Engels, a £25 million, that's £50 million, plus the £40 million for the Champions League money. So that's all because I'm just not really prepared properly for a season. They don't ever be it. And so that's £90 million just in one year. And then when you take into the seven of the last 11 qualifiers that we've lost as well, all the money that we've lost in Champions League here, that's the same guys are there. It's all different managers have done it, but it's the same guys that keep on repeating the same things, promising that and more and nothing. That's that. They just promise you. We're stacking up record amounts of profits and money in the bank, and we're looking at possibly being third in a one-horse race. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to Hearts and Rangers, but see, at the end of the day, see with the power and money that the position that Celtic have got, that Scotland is a one-horse race. If we do our business right, spend properly and all that, we might be fair with everybody, but we're actually facing the prospect of being third in a one-horse race, and these guys want to be lauded, these geniuses. And another thing, they always say, the board always says about how they've achieved all these trophies and that. No board achieves any trophies. It's the football people that achieve it, the managers, the coaches and the players. The men, the money men don't do anything on the park, so they see this either giving credence and giving tribute to directors and that for successful football clubs. That should be over.
See, in fairness, James, I see in fairness, just I know balance towards the Celtic hierarchy is in short supply these days, but just to balance up the argument, right. Anybody within a football club, if you're going to give them criticism for things that go wrong, they have to get praise for things that go right, surely. And the second counterpoint would be, you have mentioned the money in the bank and how much you've got. Does that not show that Celtic have been good at bringing in big transfer fees? Now, I totally accept that might be changing, because you're right, they maybe should have cashed in Maida, but they couldn't. Footballing wise, they weren't in a position to do so, and it now looks like the same thing's happened with Arne Engels.
No, what the point is, they don't know what they're doing at all. Like, see, Kyogo, Celtic knew 5 months before Kyogo left that he was wanting to go, so that's nearly 17 months or 18 months we're into, you know, having a main striker. And then into the bargain, what they'd done in the summer was atrocious. Brendan Rodgers came out and said that Adam Eder couldn't be let go unless we had another striker, and what did they do? Go and sell him and don't bring anybody in. And then they honestly believed that Johnny Kenny and Shin Yamada and Iheanacho were going to be enough to carry this team. I mean, you all kind of laughed at me the night of the Champions League, the first game at Parkhead, you know, each. I said, what's people expecting? I was like, we've lost all the goal scorers, all the ones that do the damage, but I get scorned for it, or Celtic should still be able to beat a team like that. No, I said, well, where's the evidence to show that Celtic, what with players like Yang and James Forrest and that as your forward, we should know that. That's no right. And it's all because our board doesn't prepare the club at all. We just react to everything. Now look at Rangers. Rangers pursued that boy, that German boy, the striker, right? They were 2.5-3 million the price they were getting quoted, but because they knew they were close to the title or in a chase, they said, let's just go and do it. Let's go and pay double the money and we'll bring them the new. That's what a professional club does. Now, Rangers are spending money the new, right? And Rangers might have wasted a lot of money, but see the way Rangers are operating the new, the professionalism, they're the guys that are owning them, they make decisions quickly and decisively. They're going to end up getting it right. While the guys that are in charge of us have been there for decades now, and they've just been coasting because they've been able to coast for the last 15 years since Rangers went into Hangman, and that's what's coming back to bite them now. Any time that we've got any sort of challenge, we start crumbling. Look at the COVID year, that's an example, right? That there's a lot of different circumstances of COVID because of the fans and that, but part of that was because we gathered about again and we crumbled because we have a good team in that. But the reason why we've been getting away with it, it's not because we've had great guys running the club, it's because we've had elite level managers. And now we've locked out again, we get Martin O'Neill back for elite level. But as soon as we don't get the elite level managers, we're terribly exposed because there's no coherence in the structure at our club at all. I mean, you've got guys coming out and speaking out against the manager in public and not even giving names to it and all that, talking about bullying and all that kind of stuff. These guys are venomous. You've got the chairman's, one of the Dermot Desmond's son coming out and saying about Celtic fans being historically and worldwide known for being at the establishment. Sorry, Mr. Desmond, I think part of the reason why Celtic were formed was part of an anti-establishment reason because of the poor and the hunger and all that.
Right, we're covering a lot of ground here. And that's not to say, it's not to say you're not right, but we've just gone from the transfer window to the establishment and the hungry very quickly. So let's try and put it to the guys, because I actually think James made loads of points that the Celtic fans will really, really agree with. Is part of the worry that it has shifted now? Because the one thing that for so long you could not hold against the Celtic, the running of Celtic, was that they always commanded big fees for players, and they were always still good at that, even up until recently, if you're talking about Nicholas Kuhn and all that sort of stuff. But now that's now, if James is, I don't know about James's numbers, but probably should have cashed in and dies in the made up, but couldn't. Football wise they couldn't. Should have probably cashed in and Arne Engels, but couldn't. So is this all because of a lack of planning or what? Why is that happening?
I think the Celtic board have put themselves under immense pressure, Gordon. I really do. I know they're under pressure just now. They've taken a gamble here. Now, that gamble may work out, because if you look at Celtic's squad, let's not be kidding, they've got some real quality players in there. I know they're missing their three big hitters, but they've got real quality players that can go and win games, no problem. They've got a terrific manager and backroom staff and everything about them. So that's fine, but there's a lot of games. They're still in Europe. Injuries to key players. Now, they've brought in, what, 5 loans in the window. They've not spent any money. Okay, there's one there with a view to buy if he does all right. But I think they have gambled here with this league. And I think if you're a Celtic fan, you were hoping that Celtic were going to make signings that would give you more confidence to say, do you know what? We've spent the money, we've brought in the quality, we're going to blow away Hearts and
but if
Rangers.
You're, but if you're saying,
I don't think
that. But if you're saying that it's circumstance that's led to loans rather than permanence, what if these guys are really good and they do fire Celtic?
It's a gamble, but it's a big, big gamble. I think they could have shortened the gamble. I'm not saying that Celtic should have went out in the window because of the situation in the summer with Martin O'Neill. But forget the summer just now. The most important thing is the league title. You can't be sitting there going, well, hold on a minute, it might be a different manager in the summer. You've got Hearts and Rangers breathing down your neck now. It's a three-horse race. And right now, I'm not looking at that Celtic transfer window and thinking, oh, Celtic are fun favourites to go and win this now.
Yeah, I think, like, going back to the point about the board being businessmen or being the clever and smart businessmen, if you're saying to a businessman how much cash is in the bank, then they're going to be like, well, yeah, we are good businessmen. The problem is you can't... It's tough to run a football club with equal balance of totally all football priorities and balance that with business priorities. It generally doesn't really work out that way. And if they're all businessmen, they're going to be drawn towards the business side of things.
But not now, though, because that's what I mean, there are now obstacles in the way where the business head surely says take 25 million.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
The football or the emotional bit says we can't, the fans will go
I think
mad
the,
if
yeah,
we do that.
I think to put themselves into a, like the first call, to put themselves into a no-win situation. They sell him, don't replace him. I think it was far too late for him to be replaced. And then suddenly you've sold one of the best consistent performers this year. He's been in probably the starting 11 most weeks. And then it suddenly becomes... You've sold the season. That's you giving up on the season. When it's like Gordon's saying, it's a massive gamble. The need to win the league after this window. If you take away Celtic with the funds they have, and like what everyone's talking about, the cash that's in the bank and everything, they should blow away the league. They should win it at a canter.
The way I look at it is quite simple, Gordon. In my opinion, if Aaron Engels gets injured tomorrow and he's out for the rest of the season, would the Celtic fans come on and go, that's us, we can't win the league, right? We've absolutely no chance to win the league. Aaron Engel, absolutely not, no chance that we come on and say that. So he got an offer of 25 million when you've still got back up in the middle of the park. Now, I like Engels, right? I've always, but he's been up and down. He ain't going to be the one that wins you the Premier League.
Let's quickly thank James and squeeze one more in. I'm being ambitious here, but let's go for it with John and Carntine. On you go, John.
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, thank you. What are you thinking tonight?
James has covered a lot of my points, Gordon, so if you don't mind, can I just touch on 2 points?
Go
maybe
for it.
Three, right, and then I need to dash because I've got an appointment to go
to. Don't let us keep you.
So for the first point, just to kind of go back to something that Dermot Desmond said in the statement when Brendan Rodgers left the club, and that was, what has failed recently is not due to other structure or model, but to one individual's desire for self-preservation at the expense of others. I'm not seeing that, if I'm completely honest.
So you think the structure and model is failing?
I was never a Brendan Rodgers fan, right? To me, I would never have had him the first time. I didn't want him back the second time.
You'd never have had him the first time?
No.
Why?
I thought Rodgers was egotistical. I thought he was all about himself before he came to Celtic, right?
So but he won trophies, John.
Put that aside.
Anyway, right, we're going to get distracted. Yeah, carry on.
Put that aside. So back to my kind of main point, what I was going to say. For me, it's not being tight-fisted or the biscuit tin mentality. It's a lack of competence. Kieran Sheridan touched on it earlier on when he said, like, a club like Celtic, you would expect it to have 3, 4, 5, 6 targets in each position. See, if you don't get your first one, you move to your second one. If you don't get your second one, you move to your third one. In my line of business, if I don't get my first deal done, I go to my second deal, my third deal, my fourth deal, sometimes I need to go 10 down my list to get to where I want to be. But you don't just sit still and not do anything at all. And we spent more money in tax last year than we did on transfer fees. It's a lack of competence. Michael Nicholson earns £800,000 a year. For what? I don't see what that guy does. He doesn't speak to the fans. He doesn't engage. He seems completely incompetent at his job. He sat in front of Celtic fans and he's blatantly lied. He told us that there was no issue with the manager and there was no problem with transfers. In December, he backed Wilfred Nancy's appointment, and then he came out and said, we've got targets and we're going to do some business in January. We're going to support Wilfred now and in the summer. 33 days later, the guy's been sacked.
See, very quickly, John, because I'm late and you're late for your appointment. To try and counter this, you have made five signings in the window. It is in every position that everybody said needed filled. Does none of that satisfy you?
It's not, Gordon, because we said we needed a centre-half. We signed the guy for Brentford at 20-year-old. He's never played a game of Premier League football. We all know we need a central midfielder who's combative in the SPL and who can go and do the dirty work. We've not got that in. We've got a winger who, by all accounts, his best games were when they played with Bodo Glimt. You know, and I hope the guys do well. I really do. I want Celtic to win every single game. I want us to win everything that we enter. And the proof will be in the pudding. So the signings may well turn out to be very good.
Yep.
I'm not Hugh Keevans, by the way. I don't write people off like Wibble Manavchuk before the first game.
It's gonna, he's 70 years on. He will never live that down. Anyway, I'm going to nip it there, John, because your appointment's more important than us, and I need to tell everybody about this. Clyde One. He's going out for his dinner tonight as well, so see if he's in the taxi and that comment will rile him. He'll phone in, I think. Right, talk about money though. How does this sound? £400,000 on Make Me a Winner. It is an incredible uplift from the £350,000, which was already a big amount last week. So text YES to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there, although worth pointing out, it is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. Friday. You can also call 03434 269 340. Calls all charged at a standard rate. 400 grand. Don't miss out. Text YES to 61025.
Tackle the headlines. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Killian Sheridan are here at 01419511025, asking you to rate your transfer window. There is a lot being said about Celtic so far, but I'm interested in you Rangers fans, because you spent a bit of cash, you pushed the boat out in relative terms to get that one over the line in Ryan Nadiri last night. Do you think it's enough? Is it enough to win the title? Because that's the question, really, isn't it? It's one thing analysing the window in isolation. Is it enough to win the title? And of course we will get to Hearts. So 01419511025. Here's what Danny Rule had to say on the late signing of Ryan Nadiri last night.
Yeah, at first I'm very happy that we could sign him yesterday. Very late. He scored, he had some good assists. I think he's powerful, he can run. Good header, good physicality, good pressing player, a lot of things what we need. Yeah, I think when I was talking to him, I felt straight the fire. And the good thing is, I know this, the club, Hansa Rostock, a little bit better than you. You have also there 5,000, 30,000 crazy fans, and that helps to prepare him for our place. And I'm also convinced, and I spoke today with some coaches from Germany, and I got a lot of message. They said their congratulations to a good sign. They compare him with, hopefully I make him not too big now, but they compare him between former player Freddy Bobic and Woltemar. In this direction, if we can bring him on this level here, we will have a lot of fun with him.
See, at this stage where we've not seen any of these players play, if we're being realistic, is that why we're almost arguing about maybe the fee, the profile, the way it comes about? Because Ryan Nadiri might be brilliant, he might be terrible, but the fact that Rangers had a deal in place for the summer and then added on a couple of million to do it yesterday, it's sort of seen as a signal of intention, isn't it?
Yeah, if he hits the ground running and is really good, then it's a great move, paying the extra $2 million. I think, can't remember his name, one of the callers was talking about how Rangers had done everything completely different. But if they'd actually maybe done this deal earlier on in the window, they could have negotiated the $2 million maybe down to something else or come up with a different agreement. But I think it's a different time now to what it used to be for both of the clubs, where it's players that we generally don't know or hear of, and we have to go off what people say, and we look at stats, and then you're judging a player just based off stats. So again, I think time will tell for a lot of these players. I think if you listen to Danny Rowe, he sounds unbelievable. But
get a nice recommendation.
Yeah, yeah.
You see what I mean, though? Like, I'm not saying this makes Ryan Nadiri good. What I'm saying is, though, there was obviously a real desire there to make it happen. Now, they clearly feel like he can be some sort of difference maker between 100%. Winning the title and not. Yeah. Otherwise, just wait to the summer.
100%, because he looks at his strikers just now. Danilo, he's moving out, yep. Right? He's got two strikers that don't score a lot of goals. I think this guy's got to come in and he'll be the number one striker right away.
Seriously?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you think he'd start over Chumite straight away?
And I think that's... Well, obviously... They'll give him time to settle in, right? That's why I think they've went out and spent the couple of million, right, extra, because they look at the two strikers and go, Chirmiti has scored four goals, Gordon. Four goals as a Rangers striker ain't going to win you the Premier League.
It's coming from the third tier in Germany, though.
Right, Majovski has scored eight, and three of them was against Annan, right? So these two strikers ain't scoring goals. So this guy, and you heard his interview there, they could have waited to the summer. Right? Because they're thinking, hold on, Chirmiti could be my number one. Majovski's there to challenge. So I've got two strikers there that I've paid a lot of money for. They've went out and spent an extra £2 million quid. It ain't for him to sit on the bench. I think he'll get the opportunity to be a number one striker.
Joe is a Rangers fan. Rate your transfer deadline day, Joe.
Good evening, panel. I think we've done very well. I think we've done a lot more than I expected we would do. I didn't expect us to spend the amount of money that we have and then spend the money again last night on the boy to Hansa Rostock. But there's one thing though that I'm not too happy about is the Finlay Curtis thing. I think Finlay Curtis should have been retained at Rangers and given time at Rangers, played with the Rangers players, etc., which is obviously the third year respected Kilmarnock, better quality of player. I think he's better than Antman. I think he's better than Nadim Bajrami. And I think, again, it shows that there's no pathway for the Rangers youth team to the first team. I mean, if you go back in the years, Nathan Patterson wasn't a regular first team player. Everton bought him for £16 million. He wasn't even a regular. Billy Gilmore, Rangers fans never really got to see Billy Gilmore. But the rest of them, I mean, going back, I mean, I can't even name any other players. I mean, Finlay Curtis, for me, when he comes on, he's positive, he's direct, he looks as if he's got a good shot on him, he's a great crosser of the ball, and I fail to see how going to be in a relegation battle with Kilmarnock is going to benefit him over staying at Rangers and being involved. I just don't see the logic behind that at all. And also, Joe Rothwell going, I mean, fair play to Joe Rothwell. Joe Rothwell was a good professional. He played 36 games for Leeds in their championship winning season. He was in the championship team of the year. You don't become a bad player overnight. He's obviously been a victim of the Russell Martin experience, not playing in his correct position, etc. Good luck to Joe Rothwell.
Danny Rule played him even less, though. He obviously didn't see a player in there that could benefit Rangers at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, fair play to him. He got his move to Sheffield United and hopefully kicks on for him and picks his career back up. But Danilo as well going out, I think it's a good bit of business for us. Obviously we'll be subsidising his wages, because that team, there's no way that team will be paying his full salary. But the problem is, when Danilo comes back, he's got 2 years left in his deal. But again, my big problem is the Finlay Curtis thing. I mean, for years and years and years we read about the infrastructure we've got, the coaches we've got, we hire all these people, we're going to bring through youth, we're going to do this and we do that. We never see it. We never see it. I mean, if that's the case, and we're not going to bring players through, or we're going to bring through one every 10 years, just scrap the whole lot.
I admire your big picture thinking, Joe, and I think it's a really valid conversation that, you know, probably as a nation we all need to have about how we bring young players through. But for this kind of semi-short term argument, does this Rangers squad win the league? Is it now capable of winning the league?
I think, as Killian Sheridan just said there, if this Ryan Nadiri guy hits the ground running and is what Danny Rowe says he is, then yes. But how many times have we seen ex-player turn up at Rangers and Celtic, he's this, he's that, and it turns out he's not that at all. So if the boy hits the ground running, the boy adapts to Scottish football very, very quickly and starts scoring goals, then yes, we are definitely early a chance. But I feel more confident with him in the squad than Danilo, because if it was left to Danilo, Majovski and Chirmiti, then absolutely not. So this guy, I mean, obviously we've watched, I mean, I've watched YouTube clips and all, etc. German third division, I mean, it's a massive punt. It's a massive punt on someone in the German third division. I mean, come on, it's, they've backed Danny Rowe, so I mean, Danny Rowe's got no excuses now. Danny Rowe's in a position he's done very, very well for us. He's closed us up defensively because we always looked as if we could concede a goal. Attacking, we've been shocking. Nothing in the final third. I've been on several times saying the same thing. We can't break teams down. We've got nothing in this final third. This Scove Olsen lad comes in with a great pedigree and all the rest of it, but if he's that great, why is he not still at Bologna? Why is he not at Wolfsburg?
That's one way of looking at it. You talk about giving guys a chance. Anyway, listen, we'll need to go there, Joe, because I'm running late all over the place tonight. But thanks for getting in touch. It's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
01419511025. That is the number you need to get in touch generally, but right now for Beat the Pundit. And the lines close at 7.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Killian Sheridan in the Clyde One Super Scoreboard hot seat for the first time alongside Gordon Dalziel. Obviously, if you get someone in for the first time, you would put them alongside somebody, you know, reliable, trustworthy, sensible, all that sort of stuff. So that was the thinking tonight. We're looking back on transfer deadline day, asking fans of all teams to rate their window. There's been a lot said about Celtic, a bit of a mix actually. I think we started off people being understanding that it's only loans because Martin O'Neill isn't going to be here, the football structure probably isn't what Celtic would want it to be, and then a few came through who were a bit angrier at the way the window has been. Arne Ingles, a great debate, isn't it? £25 million. And then just before the news there, again a bit of a mix. We had a Rangers fan very optimistic about the rest of the season following Ryan Nadiri's late move. So loads happening there. We've got a big game that we're going to get team news from in Paisley very soon. Let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, Beat the Pundit time. Are you a quizzer, Killian? How would you rate your knowledge?
I fancy this man. I've listened to this man out in even before we come in. Knowledge, brilliant. He's like, I can't wait to
what did
play.
He say in, what did he say in that office? That made you think he had knowledge?
He was saying to me, going, ask me a couple of questions. What do you do and beat the pundit?
Test me.
You get, what, 888?
I think you'll be composed. That would be my one. Maybe composed in getting
like
a
this,
zero.
I don't like this big build up.
I think he maybe get through one answer by the time he answers.
He is laid back, isn't he?
He's
laid back.
Is that a question again?
As long as I get it right, that's all right.
Let's wait and see. Right. Do you know, actually, before we move on, you know what way that you just, there's never a dull day when you play Beat the Pundit. There's always some sort of drama. What was your Sheffield Wednesday? There was a Sheffield Wednesday drama.
Barry Bannon, but I thought he was away to Millwall in the transfer.
Right, so the question was
who's the captain, right?
And you got it wrong. You said Callum Patterson.
Yeah, and who
was plays for MK Dons.
Yeah, and somebody was slaughtered, mate.
Tony
Watt. Tony
Watt. And I think we've got the clip of it, actually. What was it again he said? Let's see.
I don't know that. I don't follow Sheffield Wednesday. I'm not an owl.
Right, that's it on Marvin. I'm not an owl. And I just thought, that's... Look at this. Someone sent this in to anyone who's on the live stream. Talk about just a little innocuous statement getting picked up on in this show. Kevin from Sweden has gone to the trouble of getting this made up. Attention, Gordon Dalziel. It says, you are definitely an owl on the back. That is on. I know.
Don't start.
You know, they
don't
talk
start.
About. Don't
start. You know,
they
I know
talk
where
about
you're going.
AI, and they go, oh my goodness, how realistic is it? That is your hair down to a T.
By the way, that's my nose.
Your
never mind my hair.
Your eyebrows are pretty similar.
No, they're not.
The nose, no comment. Mm-hmm. That looks remarkably like you as an Angry Birds character.
Do you think so?
Absolutely, Killian.
He's went and got that done.
Remember, this
made
is your first
AI.
Night with me, mate. Come on. We have to get a friendship, build up a friendship.
I think that's uncanny, Kevin. Thank you for sending it in.
Yeah, well done, Kevin.
Yeah, well done. That's... very productive use of Kevin's time. What do you think Kevin does Sweden. Over in Sweden that he's got time to arrange you as an AI owl?
I know.
Who? There we go. Ah, stop it.
Sorry.
See, that was too sharp for you.
I never heard it.
Exactly.
What did you say?
Who?
Oh, yes.
See, you need to explain the joke, so.
The Irish. He came in tonight, I had a conversation, and I looked at you and I thought, I have not a clue what he's just said to me in the last
Well, he said that about you as well.
<Did he?
laughs> Right, so let's play Beat the Pundit. Ian is in Paisley. How are you, Ian?
How you doing, all right?
Yeah, not bad, not bad. Have you ever played before?
No, first time caller.
What made you play tonight then?
Because we've just come into football training with my wee boy and we're just listening to it in the car and I said, well, I'll phone it. And I phoned it 2 minutes to seven and then I got a phone back. So
there you go. So is your son listening? Are you under pressure now?
Aye. So what? I need to win a performance.
What's his name?
Cooper.
Right, Cooper.
Oh, is he named after David Cooper?
Why'd you even ask that?
I bet he is.
Oh, of course he is.
He's a season ticket holder at Ibrox anyway.
There you go. Hold on a minute. Every Cooper's not named after the great David Cooper.
I think if you're a Rangers fan and your son's called Cooper, there's a high.
And is Cooper going to be playing with Ian?
What's that? Is no, I've told him to be quiet.
So right, okay then, because we don't play twos and threes and minibuses. No, we don't.
I told you,
he'd probably be better than me.
Exactly. Tony Watt took on five on his own last week.
Did he? Did one?
He did. Right, the blue side of the coin will be for Killian Sheridan. The red side will be for Gordon DL. We've not. It's just like the new, you know, these new unheard of signings. You've no idea what they're going to be like. This is like Killian Sheridan. He could get a 10 here. It could be hopeless.
I'd fancy him. Do it well. Do well. Let's I'll help what, you if you do.
Let's see what the coin has in store.
You're
for
excited.
Us.
Oh, how excited. How high is it going?
Hey, how high do you want it to go?
Give me shoulder high. Yep.
It is Killian. There you go. I'm in. Blue.
I know it's even he's goes on. Higher. It was red.
He's on right.
Oh, are you nervous?
I am actually. I am.
Look, I am. Relax.
Are you a penalty taker over your career? What's the most pressure?
I was, yeah.
What's your most pressured penalty and how does it compare to answering questions next to Gordon DL with an AI owl over your shoulder?
Penalty's all right. Teeing off on the first tee box is...
Right, but do you know what's worse than that? Getting a donut and beat the punt.
This man's, played in the Champions League at Old Trafford.
He still can get a donut.
Right, anyway, what we do, Killian, we give you 30 seconds of music so you can't hear what Ian's questions are. Ian, 30 seconds, answer as many as you can and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
No bother.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Celtic striker Thomas Chivanchera has caps for which country?
Poland.
Rangers loaned Finlay Curtis to which other Premiership club?
Kilmarnock.
Claudio Braga wears which shirt number?
10.
Name either Championship team playing tonight. Before Martin O'Neill, who was the last Celtic manager to have two spells at the club?
Brendan Rodgers.
Scott Wright joined which Scottish Premiership team yesterday?
Dundee.
Kieran Bowie joined a team from which league?
Second division in Italy. Serie A.
Okay. Let's bring back Killian. Can you hear us?
Easy, I can
mate.
Now, yeah.
They're easy, mate.
Listen, they're enough of your mind games.
I'm not taking any heed of that.
Right. What you need is a shield to keep him out of your peripheral vision. Right. Ignore him. Your 30 seconds. Killian Sheridan's Beat the Pundit debut starts now. Celtic striker Thomas Chivanchera has caps for which country?
Hungary.
Rangers loaned Finlay Curtis to which other Premiership club?
Kilmarnock.
Claudio Braga wears which shirt number?
10.
Name either Championship team playing tonight.
Ross County.
Before Martin O'Neill, who was the last Celtic manager to have two spells at the club?
Brendan Rodgers.
Scott Wright joined which Scottish Premiership team yesterday?
Dundee.
Kieran Bowie joined a team from which league?
Don't understand the question.
Kieran Bowie joined a team from which league?
Cyril.
Ah, okay.
Whoa, what just happened there?
Italy.
Did you just tell him the answer?
No, his time's up.
I was giving up the
but
question.
He was allowed
it's all right.
What is going on here?
Was he allowed it?
Of course he was. I had finished
I didn't
the
understand
question.
The question. Italy. Once I got the question. I thought you said cereal there.
I thought he said cereal.
Cereal. No.
That was his attempt
from
to
what
say.
From what league? Not what country? Was it country or league?
Yeah, but well, it's the same thing. But aye, you did say cereal, aye. But I think you were trying to say Serie A.
Aye.
But I think you said
okay,
cereal.
Didn't
but,
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen.
Cereal.
Here.
No, cereal isn't a clue.
Let's go through them and find out. Celtic striker Thomas Chivanchera, I'm disappointed in you both. You both sort of guessed randomly. Czech Republic. None of you got it. Rangers loaned Finlay Curtis to Kilmarnock. You both got it. Claudio Braga, where's number 10? You both got it. Name either Championship team playing tonight. You had the choice of Queen's Park or Ross County. Killian Sheridan goes one in front. Before Martin O'Neill, who was the last Celtic manager to have two spells at the club? Brendan Rodgers. You both got it. Scott Wright joined Dundee yesterday. You both got it. Killian stays one in front.
Good game.
Do you want to know the great thing about this? Killian made a real backside of that last question. So did Ian.
Oh, I still said that.
No, I have to accept your first answer, Ian. I know it's your debut, but the rules are the rules. You said second division in Italy, I think, and then you said
Serie A. It's called a rock bottom of that league. That's what I said.
So somehow you both made a real pig's ear of it. He was talking about cereal in the corner. No. That was a mess. You said the word cereal.
I did. I was excited.
Somebody get me the clip of him
saying
cereal.
All right, okay, I did. I'm going to admit it.
Why cereal?
I don't know. I get excited. I was trying to help him out.
Anyway, so I think we can write off the last question for you both. Say you were both wrong, essentially, and Killian Sheridan wins it by one.
Wins a win.
A debut victory. You happy with that?
Good, mate. That's good.
I thought it was a decent performance.
Yeah. And the next question, which one and one? That's how easy it was tonight.
Do you think they were easy tonight?
Oh, terrible.
Sorry, we're up to your high intellectual standards.
Only Ian, easy when you know the answers.
Exactly. Ian, it was a 5-4 defeat, but I think you did all right. Cooper won't be embarrassed by that performance, will he?
No, he's looking at me the new, and he was just a bit. He thinks you were in the wrong and all with the last question.
What do you mean? Ian, you said second division in Italy. I'm the first to admit when there's a VAR check needed. He said second division in Italy.
Ian, you should have played the game. Said it was Cooper's birthday, and he's so disappointed he never got a ball. He'd have gave in.
He's sitting greeting now.
Go for it, Ian.
Send him a ball for goodness sake, Ian. Who's your team? Oh no, we covered that. It was Rangers. Cooper. What do you make of your transfer window, Ian?
Aye, pretty happy with it. I just don't know if we need a wee bit more creativity behind the striker. I don't think, as long as this guy can get a wee bit of service, I think he'll be all right. But
how key a point is that, Gordon? Because we kept all window hearing about how Rangers need another striker because Chimiti doesn't score enough, neither does Miovski. Do Rangers create enough chances, regardless of who the striker is?
I don't think they create enough. I totally agree with Ian. I don't think they've got that player in the middle of the park that's just going to kill defences with that one pass, right? I think Rangers tend to try and score their goals coming down the flanks and, you know, putting balls in the box and using the width, obviously, with their wingers and their fullbacks. Raskin seems to try and get in the box. He's making runs in the box. But they don't have that quality midfield player with a little something different. I know Ashgar can give you.
Do you think something else has to be improved upon then, rather than just this notion that Ryan Adeiri comes in and fixes everything? But I think maybe we got entrenched at the start because Chirmiti missed a couple of big chances in the game against Celtic at Hampden, that sort of thing. I don't remember him missing that many big chances recently. And if you want to go to the most recent drop points, there were no chances to be missed.
We didn't create a lot against Tibbs. I think they've got players in the right position. I think they've got good players. I think they've got a great opportunity, like Celtic Hearts, to go and win this league. It'll be interesting to see how everybody fits into the system now. But you're right, Gordon. I think if there's one weak link there, you're thinking they just need that. What, that just number 8, number 10 that's just going to kill defences with one pass that gives the striker the opportunity to go through one and one and go and score a goal? I think they lack that just now, but time will only tell.
I think when Danny Rowe came in, I think he's probably had to spend so much time and energy defensively and just shoring everything up that maybe now he's kind of got that a little bit more structured or more solid that he can actually maybe now focus a little bit more on the attacking side of things.
Ian, thank you very much. Let's go to Paisley, because for all the talk about Rangers window and Celtic's window, Hearts are still top. They've got that 6-point advantage. They're going to try and turn it into 9 this evening and put the pressure on tomorrow. Andrew McLean is there.
As you say, this is the next test of Hearts' title credentials, and as you mentioned, they've got the chance to put that pressure on Celtic and Rangers, because once again, for another match, they play before their title rivals. So we'll see what kind of pressure they could potentially put on the other two in the title race heading into tomorrow's matches. It was a quiet deadline day in terms of incomings for Hearts. They got the bulk of their business done early in the window. The only move yesterday was that surprise loan switch for James Wilson heading on loan to Tottenham. But they've got the firepower even without the injured Lauren Shankland. We know all about Claudio Braga's qualities. Pierre-Landry Kabore came in at the weekend, scored 2 goals. New boy Rogers Matto made his debut off the bench as well. We've also seen an impressive start for Mark Leonard in midfield, who's making up for the loss of Cammy Devlin. So the questions will keep coming about whether Hearts can keep setting the pace at the top. And despite St Mirren's poor form in the league this season, it still is never an easy place to come, Paisley, especially in these cold conditions that we've got tonight. But St Mirren desperately need the points as well, don't they? Kilmarnock now only 3 points behind Stephen Robinson's side. Defensively, they're actually doing all right this season when you look at how many goals they've conceded. But the real problem is at the other end. Robinson trying to sort that in by bringing in Keon Atete and Jake Young during the January window, but Young won't be available tonight after the club's appeal against his weekend red card was unsuccessful today. But it is 5 changes for Stephen Robinson after that draw against Dundee at the weekend. Sobowale, Idowu, Tanzer, Young and Atete drop out. In come Richardson, John Mandron, Lundalu and Jacob Devaney, who only signed yesterday, Manchester United's under-21 captain, the midfielder straight in for his debut from the start. So it's Shamal George in goal for them. A back three of Marcus Fraser, Richard King, Miguel Freckleton, Jaden Richardson and Declan John are the wing-backs. Killian Phillips, Alex Gogic and Jacob Devaney in midfield. Dan Lundalu and Mikko Mandron, the strike partnership up top. The substitutes, Mullen, Tanzer, Sobowale, Donnelly, Campbell, McMenamin, Idowu, Calvin and Etete for Hearts. It's 2 changes for them after that 3-0 win on Saturday night against Dundee United. Out go Altena and Magnussen. In come Steinvender and Benny Beningame, who's back from suspension. So Alexander Shvolov continues in goal. The back four, Michael Steinvender, Craig Halkett, Stuart Finlay and Harry Mill. Ocean McEntee, Mark Leonard, Benny Beningame and Alex Kizaridis make up the midfield four, with Claudio Braga and Pierre-Landry Kabori the front two. The substitutes, Gordon, Kent, McCart, Kabangu, Spittle, Magnussen, Altena, Karjota and Agiu. The referee for this one is Stephen McLean and the VAR is John Beaton.
It's a good job. It's a high stakes game. Can you imagine how cold that's going to be? The windiest stadium in the planet.
Do you think the game's got to make him warmer?
Yeah, just give you something to take your mind off it. Bit of entertainment. Tell you what, on a serious note, think of the sort of high drama that's gone on in the games between those two recently. Obviously the Hearts gone down to 10 men early at Tynecastle. The one before that, there was the disallowed goals and VAR drama and late winners and so on. There's maybe the us being in Glasgow bit of it, and it's a lot of attention on the transfer window. It's almost like you forget there's this game tonight, and that is absolutely massive. It's a huge, huge evening, isn't it?
It's massive for both clubs, Gordon.
Let's talk about the picture at the top first.
Right. Oh, Hearts. Yeah, it's a great opportunity, and they had it the weekend. They won the Saturday night. They put the pressure right over to Celtic Rangers Sunday. If they can get a win tonight, they put the pressure on to Rangers and Celtic tomorrow night, and that'd be a great position for Hearts to be in. Look, it's got to be a difficult game. I was listening to the team there. I think they've got bags of attacking power, Hearts. Beningame coming back is a big, big plus for them as well. They're in a good place, Hearts. I think everybody's, like myself included, and I'm not kidding on here, I was just sitting for weeks upon weeks thinking, right, they'll lose a game, they'll start falling away, and they'll start dropping points. They've been absolutely brilliant, all credit to them. They lost two of their big hitters, still been very good indeed. It'll be a difficult test tonight because St Mirren are desperate because Kilmarnock are breathing right down their necks. I think they're a little bit fortunate, and I hate to say this for Kilmarnock fans, but I think they're a little bit fortunate. Even if they lost tonight, I don't see Kilmarnock getting anything at Ibrox, right? But they're still in that relegation danger for me, St Mirren. They need to start picking up points. They're at home, they'll be looking for something. Can't see by Hearts.
The 3 games they've got coming up, Killian, the great thing is when managers talk about one game at a time, we can say that's utter nonsense. St Mirren tonight, an Edinburgh derby next Tuesday, and Rangers after. If Hearts could come out with 3 wins, I mean, we're already in obviously a title winning conversation, but I think that would move them really into the driving seat for most people, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think they've continued to just kind of defy what everyone is saying. That, like Gordon's saying, you're always expecting for them to kind of falter and be a little bit inconsistent with results, but they've just been so consistent, like just week in, week out. And I know it's kind of been brought about them not making many changes to the team and the players will tire, but they haven't looked like that at all. Even in games where they're going down to 10 men and they're still clawing out results and then going for another game a few days later when they're midweeks, and they're still, they don't look fatigued or anything. Every player looks fresh. They all look like the, I think Derek McInnes, it's always been one of his strong points that he's a good man manager. He gets players wanting to play for him. And I think you can see that with the way the players play for him.
01419511025. Big game tonight, but plenty of time to get your calls in on the transfer window. Rate it for your team. Was it good, bad, somewhere in the middle? You tell us. I've got a good Killian Sheridan anecdote that I've stumbled across, Gordon Dale, that you're going to love when we return.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon Dale and Killian Sheridan are here. We're building up to kick-off when we are looking at the game between St Mirren and Hearts, of course, and looking back on the transfer window. That seems to be the one that most people are interested in, so keep the calls coming on 01419511025. I find this question that Hank and Leaven has sent in for you very
difficult.
Yeah, very difficult.
Too difficult.
No, I mean, you'll be able to throw some random names out there, but it's very specific from Hank. Hank says, and this is the full-time teaser, by the way, where you send the questions to us and the pundits try and come up with your answers. So the address you need on that is fulltime@clyde1.com. So we're talking permanent signings here. Who are the last six players who signed for an Old Firm team in the January window and stayed for longer than 2 years in one spell? It's very specific, isn't it? You're going to Do you have any specific knowledge of January signings?
Right.
So permanent signings, last six, signed for an Old Firm team in the January window, and they stayed for longer than 2 years in one spell.
Is Maeda there longer than 2 years?
So this, no, because he
Hatate,
came.
No.
It was Maeda, one of those like loans first, that sort
Hatate,
of thing.
No?
Yes, Rio Hatate. Quite tricky that. Mm-hmm. I think it's really tricky.
Carter Vickers?
No, but there are a couple. The Celtic ones I would say are easier, just in the sense that they were two of the Celtic ones are high profile, turned out to be really good signings, that sort of thing. I'll give you some thinking
come
time.
In the, no.
Think of anyone who signed and got thrown straight in to big games. No, listen, I'll leave it with you. I was trying to lead you down a path.
Trusty.
I didn't want to give too much away. So that's a very difficult question from Hank and Leaving.
If
you
what?
Nope.
Oh, it's an Edward,
if you want to submit an easier one, it's fulltime@clyde1.com. Right, I told you a Killian Sheridan anecdote. I'm a big believer in this. I like football symbolism here. Right, mm-hmm. Who's your best pal in the world? Really, when you think about it, a relationship forged over many years on this show. You sat there, he sat there.
Wilson,
Mark Wilson. Right. So tonight, Mark Wilson has been replaced by
Killian
Sheridan. Who did Killian Sheridan come on for in his Celtic debut?
Forrest. Mark Wilson.
What about that?
Mark Wilson.
I'm
gonna, do you remember that?
Yeah, Inverness Cup away.
So
wearing, by the way, wearing Stephen Pearson's boots, I'm sure.
Why?
Who, you or Wilson?
me. I don't know why. I just think.
So he's
I have no idea why.
He's a full back.
Yeah, it was an attacking change.
And you,
must have been
right. Okay,
were losing 1-0, which had to make a wee attacking change. We won 2-1.
Did you score?
No, but I set up Kenny Miller for the winner.
Heard
there
before.
You go. That's
did
an attacking
you?
Change.
Yeah.
They won
did
the game.
Did you play with Kenny?
Yeah,
mate. Seeing you told me you're still playing with Brecon, I thought you'd retire about 10 years ago. I swear, I was stunned to hear you were still Brecon.
On for Mark Wilson for his Celtic debut. I'm happy with that.
That's
super
good.
Scoreboard symbolism.
I wouldn't have known that. I wouldn't have known who I came on for.
Oh, it might not even be true then, but producer Jay says it is, and I trust him.
Oh, is it Jay?
I trust his research.
Well, let me tell you, that isn't true.
No, he's on the money, that guy.
It would be Jay.
Yeah,
Hall, listen.
I'm not the best person to verify it either.
When you say, like, I don't know why I was wearing Stephen Pearson's boots, presumably you just forgot yours. Like, it's not like a fashion choice or
I
the only guy with the same size feet as you.
I have no idea. I just remember this. For some reason, I had to grab a pair of boots, and it was Stephen Pearson's that were there.
You mean you're making your debut for Celtic, right? And you turn up without boots?
No.
How's that work? That's like.
It was all very last minute, because I remember that weekend I was supposed to go home for, I think, my 18th birthday, and then got called up into the first team for an away game.
Oh, yeah. By the way, I've done them dirty in there. It was producer Ross who's furious that I've overlooked his research. Sorry, Ross. But there we go.
Well, that could be true.
Do you know what is? Well, to tie it all together, when we came into the office, the three of us, me and Gordon walked through. Do you know the only thing Gordon said about you is him and I left you and walked down the corridor? Genuinely. Some size of feet.
First thing I noticed about you, mate.
So,
I've got to say, your hair stands out, but your feet are bigger.
So it's now back to...
Just in proportion to my body, no?
What size are they? They're about 12s.
11.
So we're back to talking about his bits anyway. What's going on here? What's happened to you?
You'd be offside every week.
01419511025. Are you? What you did? I didn't get predictions from you. What are you thinking about that game tonight?
I said I can't see by Hearts.
Who do you think will win the league, Killian? Because everybody else has had to face this question sort of weekly from this position. Who wins it from here? Do you think?
God, I know before the window, everyone was whoever signs the best striker out of Celtic and Rangers. But at the minute, it's Hearts to throw away.
Yeah.
And they don't look like faltering, or they don't look like they're dropping needless points or anything. And anytime they have had some sort of a wobble, they come through. And like even wobbles within games, they get red cards, they come through injuries, they get through those spells. And I think they look comfortable in that position as well. And as a club, they never panicked either. I don't think in January, like their signings, they've done all their signings quite early. There was nothing done last minute where they're trying to get guys in to cement things. So I think you have to
give Hearts.
Yeah.
That looks cold and paisley. James McFadden looks like he's actually in a sleeping bag.
Yeah. By the way, never mind that. Haley, look at the gear.
Well, her name's Haley for a start. Haley.
So that's, what did I say?
That's not going to work. Haley, that looks chilly, I must say.
Oh.
Fans are going to Paisley tonight. Good on you. Bravery medals required. Jamie is in Alloa. How are you, Jamie?
I'm good, guys. How are yours?
Not bad, Jamie. I've heard a lot wide ranging opinions on Celtic's deadline day. What's yours?
It's understandable with the loan signings because O'Neill's not obviously going to be there next season. And see as well, we've actually covered what I think is the position that we needed to cover. Gordon touched on it earlier that it was possibly a bit of a gamble. So I'm going to ask Gordon a question, right? Is it still a gamble if Celtic had actually signed these players permanently? Signed these five players, is it still the same gamble? Mm-hmm.
I don't really understand that because they didn't sign them permanently.
No, but I think to be well, correct me if I'm wrong. No, but what's the gamble bit though? What's the gamble bit? Because at the moment, Killian touched on this earlier. Celtic and Rangers, it's a big wide footballing world now. You spend 4 million, you've never heard of the guy either. Do you know what I mean? So it's you're getting the player now.
I am not against Celtic going down the loan market. I said at the beginning of the show that I thought most of the players that they brought in would have been the loan market because of the situation come the summer. But because of what's happened with the Celtic fans, the board and everything, I thought Celtic would have went for a couple of big signers, you know, splashed the cash a little bit. I think that would have probably gave everybody that sort of good feel factor.
So in a PR sense then, rather than a footballing sense?
Well, in a bit of quality sense, we don't know what we're getting.
Listen, no, but Rangers, hold on, hold on.
Rangers Hearts have brought in gambles.
But that's what I mean. So quickly on that, because you're saying, that I think that's Jamie's point, whether it's 5 million or whether it's a loan, the question mark over how much quality they bring still remains. That doesn't, do you know what I mean? That doesn't change. I think that's Jamie's point. So you're saying it's a gamble because it's a loan.
But, well, I think that Celtic fans didn't think their January window was going to be 5 loans, right? I didn't. Now, you cannot say...
But Jamie's saying he did because of the structural uncertainty.
But, right, forget... See this, you've got to get away from... Well, hold on a minute, Martin O'Neill's not going to be there in the summer. There's other teams in the country and Europe as well, signed players... Right, and the manager changes.
But do they have a sporting director or someone to provide a bit of continuity?
But they've got to, Gordon, it's not like Celtic are sitting in a comfortable position in the league going, do you know what? We can bring in all these loan players because we're going to change a manager, we're going to bring in a sporting director, we're going to change the full structure again in the summer. There's a league to be won here in Champions League, place to be played for. So you've got to think of the here and now for me. Now, these guys that come in, these five players, all of a sudden can be put in there with Martin O'Neill that everybody loves and a fantastic manager, and bang, they're off and running. Rangers could do the same. Hearts have brought in players. They could do the same. I know the point that it doesn't matter if you sign an 11, 12 million pound player to a free, it's still a gamble, but I think that you've got a better chance that your 10, 11 million pound player is probably going to give you more quality.
Killian, it feels like when you strip all this back, it does just come down to, are the players good? Do you get a good return from them? Because let's be hypothetical here. Let's say Celtic did sign a player for £7 million and then he wasn't good. Fans would then moan in a couple of months' time and say, who signed him? Why was Martin O'Neill allowed, if it was that, you know, to sign off on a £7 million player when he's not there next season? But flip that, if the 7 million guy comes in and wins you the league, nobody cares. So it really just comes down to how much of an impact they have.
Yeah, I think also a lot does get made of all that. I think players that are at Celtic or Rangers should be good enough to play under any manager or any kind of system to a degree. I think a lot gets made out of if a manager leaves or changes. It happens all the time. Managers get sacked or to get something better or whatever. But it ultimately does come down to, like you're saying, if a player is good enough, he's going to do well in whatever system he's in, whoever the manager is, whoever's there. But I just think a lot gets made out of structures and what's in place and everything like that. I know I kind of touched on it earlier, saying that was the reason there were loans. I wasn't surprised that it was all loans.
But you also then think Celtic could have done one piece of big business and it wouldn't have, you know, that's not hugely detrimental. Yeah,
the other thing is, like, I think the days are gone of Celtic signing big name players or marquee players that everyone's excited and buzzing about. It's if you are going to get a player that's a big name or well known, it's not going to be one who's at the peak or top of their game. Yeah. It's going to be an older player who's maybe there's something there that's still in them. But other than that, it is generally players. Even like they've still spent about 11 million on Engels, who no one would have heard of before. That was the marquee signing that still wasn't a big name.
Speaking of which, Jamie, would you be in favour? You're relatively comfortable with the window anyway. What would you say to the free agent signing of Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
I'd welcome it, because we're trying to win a title. So if Celtic go on to win the league, with everything that's happened, in these five signings, it turned out to be a massive coup, which is amazing, considering everything that's happened. And then when you look at it, the other clubs have spent as well. I just think everything that's gone on, Martin's obviously away. The loan signings, if a new manager comes in for next season and doesn't like them, then they can go back to their parent clubs. And then that's like we're kind of starting from scratch, because let's all be honest as well. Regardless if Celtic win the league or not, we're probably looking at a rebuild for next season.
Yeah, that's a good point. I saw sort of a few people pointing that out. If you look at all these loans, plus guys like Schmeichel, Maeda, and now what happens with him, now what happens with Engels, that there could be a lot of change. Oxlade-Chamberlain is only 32. He has obviously played at, you know, the very highest level. To go back to what you said, you can only get him if there's a flaw, basically. You know,
there has to be a reason.
There's a drop-off. Yeah. So, what would you go for that for Celtic?
Yeah, I don't. If he's fit and ready to come in and contribute in actual game time minutes, not just, I know he's in training at Arsenal. Training in at a club is different to going and playing in games, and playing in games where there's a title at stake and there's pressure and everything else that comes with that. If he comes in and hits the ground running and is the player that everyone remembers and knows, then it's obviously going to be a brilliant signing. I don't really see much downside to it. It's not really going to hurt them.
Because even if the wage was big, it would be till presumably the end of the season.
If it's going to be four or five months of wages for him, I think it's worth the gamble for them.
I agree. I think if he's fit and he comes in, you're not looking long term. You're looking, it's another body. Like, we all remember him. He was a brilliant footballer. He's obviously, what you said there, he's trained with Arsenal. but it's different. He needs to play games, Scottish game. He can come in, Martin O'Neill will know him well. I don't think it's another body. It gives him another option as well. It could be a sensational signing. Wait and see.
Okay, thank you very much to Jamie. Any more on that teaser? It is a difficult one. So it's basically the last six players to sign permanently for an Old Firm side in January, but they must have stayed longer for more than 2 years in one spell. Hatate, you got
Nicholas Rashkin one?
Yes, well done.
Is there a goalkeeper in there?
No.
No, right, okay, that rules him out.
One more guess. Quite tricky. No.
Mostly Celtic.
Three more Celtic, one more Rangers to go.
Okay.
Quickly though, if you can.
Right, I'm trying my best.
Never mind. I'll give you more thinking.
Shooter.
No. I'll give you more thinking time, and we'll get kickoff in Paisley as well when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
An apology from me to kick off this part. I said kick off at St Mirren would happen after the break. Well, I mean, technically it was right, but I just forgot that it wasn't 7:45 and it is indeed an 8 o'clock in Paisley. So still plenty to look forward to there between St Mirren and Hearts. This teaser is really difficult. Hank and Levin sent it in. It doesn't need to be this tricky. If you want to send one in, we'd love to have it. As many as you can. Full time at Clyde1.com is the email address. So Hank says, excluding loans, so the last six permanent players to sign for an Old Firm team in January, and they have to have stayed longer than 2 years in one spell. So like Reo Hatate, Nico Raskin.
Go on, he got it.
Matt O'Reilly
signed 20th of January 2022.
Is Bernardo one?
No, he's not.
I'm just throwing names. I'm throwing darts at a dartboard.
So the signing in January had to be permanent?
Yeah.
So if he was on loan in January and then signed in the summer, it doesn't count. Okay.
Three loose clues for you, right?
Right.
One remaining Celtic one would go down as a good signing. Wasn't big money, but big contribution.
Alistair Johnston?
Yes. Look at that, man.
AJ, come in January.
Your man. Your boy.
I coached him, mate.
Yeah?
Yeah. Coached him as a kid. Brought him on.
You
don't always know what the truth is, right?
Truth.
But we did genuinely discover that the Gordon at some point in that era did genuinely go and coach at the boys' club in Toronto where Alistair Johnston played as a kid.
He sent me a video.
He did send you a thank you, but I wonder if he got put up to that.
No, he didn't. He wanted to do it.
Gordon also told us that he played with Ange Postecoglou in Australia, and we thought that's nonsense, and it actually turned out to be true.
Yeah, remarkably. Big postal.
So there you go. South Melbourne.
Fair play.
South Melbourne, yeah. Oh, they were the days.
Anyway, right.
They were the days.
What about John in Moss Park? Let's see what he's got. Take it away, John.
Hello, panel, and my pal Gordon. How are we? Listen, Gordon, you know I've been on last week regarding Masminisi. And I'm not his agent, by the way, in case you think I am, but... Yeah, the thing it's annoying me is everybody in your cell keeps saying we needed a striker to win this league and get into progress into Europe. Now, we just knocked back $25 million, and I did say to Hugh Keevans, I don't know if you remember, Gordon, $10 million for the Masinissi, and he just scoffed at me and he says, no, we'll not pay that money for my...
I'd have taken that, John.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Masinissi, Moss Park, where I stay. Motherwell, I heard, were looking for sufficient funds to help them build a training centre. Now, we could have gave them that money and we wouldn't have missed it. I don't understand why, for the life of me, that we never went after this guy, a proven goal scorer, if not the top goal scorer in the league, and we just let him go. I'm sure Motherwell would have relented with a stupid price for him, and we could have afforded it, you know, for...
Where's the line though, right? Because you've called it a stupid price. Why would Celtic pay a stupid price?
Well, it was money we didn't have, was it? We never had that money.
So you're saying sell Engels for 25 and give a whack of that for Masinissi?
Well, speculate to accumulate, don't you? Why not give him? He's a proven goal scorer. I could have seen the point if we're signed in. Would be's, could be's, you know what I mean? But this guy's a proven goal scorer. There was no two ways about it. We should have went for him.
Gordon, we spoke about it all window. He's great. He's done great. So what, that people are just throwing fees around, and it's tough to know. Even if Motherwell were going to hold out for a big price, Celtic weren't going to pay 10, were they?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if... I think you'd have got them for less than 10. I'm a bit surprised as well, right?
But were Motherwell not... They made it so clear. It was not for sale.
No, but everybody's for sale if the price comes in.
It's all well and good saying sell Engels for 25 million and then just throw whatever at Masfenisa. But they're different positions. He's not coming in to replace...
Like for like,
replace the money that's been done, but Celtic would still.
But you're
be
not
left
making 11 million profit and throwing it at Motherwell. It wouldn't happen. I like the fact.
But you see this though, just quickly on that, because everybody keeps saying there would have been a price that Motherwell would sell at. I'm going to steal Killian's point because it's one of my favourite of the week. There wasn't a price for Celtic to sign Arne Engels. Everybody said you got to take 25 million. But it just didn't make sense for them in that moment. So is that not the same for Motherwell? Because actually, there's a debate maybe about whether you can get that again for Engels in the summer. Masfenisi's value is going to stay where it is, at least, is it not?
If he keeps producing what he's producing. What I'm surprised at, and I could be wrong, is that nobody tested the water.
Well, but that's what I think Anderlecht did a bit yesterday.
No, I'm talking about Scottish teams. Because I think if you look at Rangers and Celtic, both in the market for a centre-forward, right? They've went and got guys that probably we've not really heard of. Masfenisi just now is tearing up the Premier League.
They must have, though. They must have, and then the price must have just been too unrealistic.
Or Motherwell just didn't want to sell.
That's what I'm saying, or you trust that. Look, he's just not for sale.
Yeah, but listen, and if that's the case, well done to Motherwell. I love that. I'm fed up and sick of big clubs coming in and the Motherwells and the teams, the lower teams like that, getting just offered 2 or 3 million and expected to roll over and say, yeah, go and take our best players. So the days have gone. You've got to pay top dollar for them now. And if that's the case, and Motherwell aren't skint, right? They're not skint at all. So at the end of the day, well done to Motherwell for standing strong.
And they got Stephen Welsh back, Killian. Maybe this is wishful thinking on my part, I admit that, but can you imagine the calls on here if Stephen Welsh inspires Motherwell to finish higher than Celtic this season?
I think that was part... I think Celtic would have made a play to guess Masfenisi using Stephen Welsh, because wasn't Motherwell the only club...
That he could play
for. He could only
for.
Go back to Motherwell in January or stay at Celtic.
Is the problem there though? What's a Stephen Welsh loan worth to you? Because Motherwell couldn't afford his wages, could they? Motherwell wouldn't be able to turn Stephen Welsh into a permanent signing. You wouldn't have thought.
Which Welsh still got his contract?
I can't remember. He's still got a few years.
The only thing you could have looked at is, you're right, Motherwell couldn't afford Stephen Welsh's wages, but the only thing you could look at is maybe saying, look, Celtic could make up to you know, make it worth a while, a package for him to go. But I didn't think that would happen.
But then can he afford not to play for another 6 months? Maybe he'd be willing to just go and say, right, I'll go for this.
Short term.
I'm back in the team, I'm playing. The other thing on Engels, I meant to say it earlier, that the whole £25 million thing now for him is maybe in the summertime, between now and the summertime, a lot of clubs might have saw Nottingham Forest get a bid rejected, 25 million in Scotland, and think, who is this player? Might be more eyes on him now between now and the end of the...
A bit of free advertising.
Between now and the end of the... Or not the end, until the summertime.
Well, thank John very much for his time. John, sort of not happy, if you like, with Celtic's transfer business, but wanting them to go for Masfenisi. The site, Benjamin Arthur, is the defender. Not really spoken about him. He was actually on my flight up from London this morning.
Is he tall?
I was running up and down the aisle, sort of.
Was he headering fast feet, in that?
Just the way he handled his luggage.
Squatting up and down from the seat.
You know what's funny? I actually said to my wife, I said, oh, just to show you, some people just don't know anything about football. I said,
New Celtic
signing was on my flight. She went, already? I said, well, needs to. And she genuinely thought it was like a normal job where like you work, you get like a notice period and you start.
Start next Monday.
Start in 6 weeks' time.
Start next Monday.
The naivety of it all. Anyway, right, quickly in the teaser anymore.
No, I've no idea.
Okay, a former Rangers player who was on the move yesterday back to Dundee.
Right, Scott Wright.
And see, if I'm being honest, Killian was great at Beat the Pundit. You have your moments. We could be here until next January transfer window, would not be able to pull Ismail Assoro out of the bag.
Yep, I totally agree with that.
Well done. Killian Sheridan, your Super Scoreboard debut, painless enough?
Yeah, pretty sensible callers.
Well, can't promise that all the time. Can't say the same for him. Thank you very much.
Sensible company as well.
We are back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday.